And good morning, friends, and a very happy St. Patrick's Day to each and every one of you on both sides of the Atlantic, from New York City, capital of the world. Again, we want to wish you a very, very happy St. Patrick's Day. This is for those who might have been with us through the years. This is our 43rd show, St. Patrick's Day show, and going back to 1970. We're going to be with you for the next 6 hours. We will be joined by many guests over this on today's program, live from New York City, 515 Madison Avenue. We'll have a very special guest, actually, from Ireland. We're Taoiseach, Prime Minister of Ireland. Enda Kenny will be joining us a little bit later, as will the Mayor of New York, Mike Bloomberg, who will be visiting us for the 12th time. So, firstly, before I introduce a very special friend, a very special person indeed, and a great entertainer, I want to play a track. A track from one of her albums.
Hello, this is Arthur Godfrey, and may I thank you very much for myself and for the folks here with me on this record for bringing us into your home like this. It's kind of fun, and we feel real honored. You know, maybe we can kind of stick around with you now on this record for a little bit. We get on the radio every day, and as soon as it's over, we've gone, and that program's gone, and you never hear it again. And maybe that's for the best, too. Who knows? But here you got some of the best music, some of the best songs from the kids. Jeanette Davis, Frank Parker, Carmel Quinn, and even a few notes from that old ukulele of mine and me. Shall we start off with Carmel Quinn?
It seems like only yesterday I sailed from Otakar, an immigrant from Aaron's Isle. I landed in New York. There wasn't a soul to greet me, a stranger on your shore, but your Irish cook was with me boys and rich to King galore. And now I'm going back again to dear old Aaron's Isle. My friends will meet me on the pier and greet me with a smile. Their faces sure I've almost forgot, so been so long away, but my mother will introduce them all, and just to me she'll say, shake hands with your uncle, mighty girl, and the hand of your sister, Kate. And there's a boy you used to court down by the garden gate. Shake hands with all of the neighbors and kiss the gossams all. You're as welcome as a flower's and make her feel all jolly gal. They'll give the party when night gets back and they'll come from near and far. They'll line the road for miles and miles with Irish dancing cars. The spirits will flow and we'll be gay with a chain of whirl. And the piper will play an Irish reel to welcome home the girl. We'll dance and sing the whole night long, this fun you've never seen. The boys will be decked in corduroy, the collie is wearing green. There'll be thousands there I've never seen. I've been so long away, but my mother will introduce them all. And this to me shall say, me Grannigan, Fannigan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Malacky, Mahone, Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connolly, Dooley, O'Hooley, McGee, Malone, Madigan, Gadigan, Lanigan, Flanagan, Bacon, O'Hagan, O'Hoolahan, Flynn, Shanahan, Manahan, Fogarty, Hogarty, Kelly, O'Kelly, McGinnis, McGinnis, Shake, and to your Uncle Mike, the girl is a hand of your sister Kate. And there's the boy you used to cook down by the garden gate. Shake hands with all of the neighbors, you kiss the gossams all. You're as welcome as the flowers in May. The dear old
Hello.
la, la, la. Did you do all of those names in one breath? Boy, that is something, isn't it, huh? Will, give me that music a minute. I want to see something. Brannigan, Fannigan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Mahlocky, Mahone, Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connolly, Dooley, O'Hooley, Muldowney, Malone, Madigan, Cadigan, Lanahan, Flanagan, Fagan, O'Hagan, O'Hoolahan, Flynn, Shanahan, Manahan, Fogarty, Hogarty, Kelly, O'Kelly, McGinnis, McGinn. Oh, he's got things. That's a long bunch of guys, isn't it, huh?
Right. Carmel Quinn. And, Carmel,
yes.
You're very, very welcome, and I'm very happy St. Patrick's Day to you, too.
Same to you, indeed. It's great to see you. You haven't changed a whit.
Look, thank you. I want to thank you for that. And but you beat me to it. I was gonna say, Carmel, going back as far as I can remember, you know, there you were, the red-headed Colleen, the dub, and... you look great and you feel great, thank God.
Thank God, couldn't be better. You know, I always believed in the old saying, eat fried bread and run against the wind. That's what I do.
I know. And you're working like you're still trying to put the rent together. I mean, there are so many people who, for me, said, well, are you ready to retire, pack it in? And I said, I'm not going anywhere until I see what Carmel Quinn is doing. And
oh, no way. No intention. I just love what I do. It's not work.
Yeah.
It's fun. I'm out there and the people are happy and everything is, you know, I
yeah.
love what I do.
And indeed, a lot of charities in particular, a lot
yes,
of
a lot.
Causes nice. Which you have gotten behind. Are indeed very thrilled that, in fact, you still help them out. And,
oh, gosh,
and
yeah.
I'm sure that somewhere along the way, that during the year, you know, when they're having their quiet little board meetings and whatever, they must whisper and say, I wonder if Carmel Quinn will be around next year. I wonder if she'll be all right. I wonder if she'll think. And you.
Never better.
Never better.
Thanks be to God. It's hard to kill a bad thing.
You have, I think the, this being St. Patrick's Day, can you kind of go back and remember a particular St. Patrick's Day in your own career, in the early days, that springs to mind?
Well, apart from being here and doing the Carnegie Hall was like unbelievable, and singing for President Kennedy was unbelievable, and all the things I did seemed unbelievable, but I loved the Patrick's Days at home when I was growing up. You know, my memories of that growing up in Dublin, first of all, we loved St. Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not that we were that pious.
Mm-hmm.
But because St. Patrick's Day, whatever you gave up for Lent,
mm-hmm.
you could do.
That's right.
If you gave up sweets.
You got a sus.
The
pictures, you did, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like a reprieve from the governor.
Yeah.
You know, and we were all, you could eat their sweets. And so everyone would go to Mass and then come back and have the huge breakfast, which mm-hmm. we never really had very often. You know, the big mm. breakfast.
The fry.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And so then everyone would get ready. Oh, would you believe this? In those days, the bishops had the pubs closed. Imagine the pubs closed Patrick's Day. I mean, God bless. But that's where I learned my first Latin. Bona fide.
Oh.
Bona fide, if a pub was 6 miles outside Dublin,
yeah.
they were called bona fide.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, after Mass and the big breakfast,
yeah.
would head off for the bona fide. Kids, elderly, didn't matter. Everyone.
Now, was that was geared towards the travelers. Wasn't it some kind of a connotation? You know, that's even in the most stringent rules and regulations, there was always a bit of respect there.
Yeah.
For the traveler.
Yeah.
And God knows that covered a multitude, as you just pointed out. The dub is all heading out. All they had to do was go 6 miles in any direction.
I know, and everyone enjoys it. You know, they went in cars and bikes, on the crossbar, whatever way. But even as kids we went, and all the women had gathered in what was called the snug.
Yes.
Snug was a sort of a little thing where the men couldn't go, which the men loved. Because the men loved
it. If you can envision, friends, a walk-in closet here. It'd be about double the size of a walk-in closet, but for some reason, snugs in pubs in Ireland were designed to be narrow because they didn't want to take up too much room. Even in the big pubs in Ireland, one would imagine, why would the amount of space which was devoted to this snug, again was handled with almost the secrecy of a confessional box. I mean, everybody in the world knew that there was a snug there, and that's where the women had their port and their sherry. And nobody could see them.
For the bartender to get his order, he had a little like a confessional.
Right.
And all it would show is his midriff. Not his face, not his eyes. What'll it be, ladies? And then they do a two-act play for him.
Oh,
sure, I never touch it. God bless him, saves. I wouldn't know the taste of it. And they do a whole play.
And at this early in the day, it was another great expression. There's so many of them that you have actually woven into, you know, many of your performances, your concerts, whatever.
Yeah.
I think the notable part of your humor is that most people can absolutely relate to it. You don't put any color fibbles on it. You tell it like it is, and you have amazing recall.
Yeah, and the one woman had said, sure, I tell you now, just to pass myself, I'd have a small whiskey. I never touch it, but it might do me good. Oh. And they'd all do a whole rigmarole, and he'd get the orders. And as he was walking away, all the small whiskey people would say, excuse me, love, you might as well make it a double, save you coming back. so. But it was a whole wonderful thing, and then the singing would start.
Yeah.
And everyone had their song, you know. It was I knew every song.
It was a compulsory part of family.
Yes.
If you couldn't sing, God knows there were many who didn't even realize they couldn't sing and they were singing anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you were really monotone, you would absolutely have to come up with something, maybe a recitation, maybe
a joke
or a story or something else like that. I felt that for some kids, it put a lot of strain, you know, as kids were younger. And then as we got older, we said, wait a minute. We sang that 100 times. We can add something to it. But I think it's very much a part of our culture.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm happy to say my son, Sean, who lives here, they were born here. Sean has a big St. Patrick's Day party at his house.
Uh-huh.
And he loves the Irish songs and he loves, you know, my children love everything Irish. And but it was gas because different people would sing different songs, you know, sad songs, good songs. But I always remember one lady who lived in San Francisco and came back for Patrick's to Ireland. Jenny was her name.
Mm-hmm.
And my father would say, she's a bit odd. And I'd say, why do you say that? He'd say, Karma, she lives in San Francisco. They have earthquakes. Your head gets shaken. You're never right. And everyone has a... She would always sing, and she'd be following Gaelic songs. We all sang. I sing Gaelic songs to this day.
Uh-huh.
But she would sing Cocaine Bill and Morphine Sue. were strolling down Park Avenue. Said Cocaine Bill to his gal Sue, honey, have on me, oh, honey, have on me, honey, have on me. Well, everyone would join in the chorus, and no one knew what it was about. So we didn't know about cocaine or anything like that. But
my God.
It had a list. But we'd all go home singing, honey, have
amazing. Amazing, yeah.
But I loved the Gaelic songs. I loved Gaelic. I went to an all-Gaelic school.
Where did you go, by the way?
Marlborough Street.
Yes.
And my mother died.
That would have been unusual enough.
Yes. I loved Irish. I thought,
did you?
If I was taught French, if I were taught other languages, I'd have learned them all. I loved different sounds, you know, but we spoke Gaelic in everything in Marlborough Street outside of English. English was the only time we spoke in. But I loved this, you know, and it was a great way then to say things. My sister and I, later on, when we didn't want people to know what we were saying, we said, "Their grandfather, Tarshe Mahogany, and all of us." We could chat away.
You mentioned your mother.
I lost my mother when I was 7. Lord rest her soul. Yeah. And my father raised the 4 of us. I had a sister so close, 1 year and 2 months, Beth. My sister was the best sister ever lived. And talk of a sense of humor, quiet sense of humor, have you on the floor laughing. But my father never married again, and the ladies in the neighborhood fancied my father. He was kind of very nice looking, and he played the fiddle. And, hello, Mr. Quinn. Oh, how are you?
Yeah.
And they were all after him, and he dreaded he would never think of getting married again. And I said one day, "Daddy, I met Mrs. Murphy downtown. She was asking for you." And he just said, "Did you make the sign of the cross?" Dreadful. But he was a great man, and he ended up not making much money playing the fiddle. I mean, classical violin.
Yes.
And so he became a bookmaker.
Yes.
And we went to the track with him.
Classical violin, of course, it would have helped at that time if you were in Dublin. There wasn't much, actually. There wasn't much opportunity outside of Dublin. I believe Cork was doing okay, and you had Belfast and whatever. But it was a rather an East Coast opportunity, wasn't it?
Yes,
and
it was.
Mostly associated with Dublin.
Yes, yes.
Look, we... this is not a classical piece that we're about to hear from Carmel Quinn, but indeed this is a song, and it definitely comes to life on during St. Patrick's season, and it is the song "With Me Shillelagh Under Me."
Tired of roaming round, and so I'm going to pack me grip, and I'm off to book me passage on a mighty powerful ship. I'll be bound to send a telegram the day I reach the quay, to tell them in a day or two to be expecting me. With me shillelagh under me arm and a twinkle in me eye, I'll be off to Tipperary in the morning. Now with me shillelagh under me arm and a tool or a lie, I'll be welcome to the home that I was born in. Me mother's tall the neighbours, I'm going to settle down. Still the floaters coming out to guide me round the town. Now with me shillelagh under me arm and a twinkle in me eye, I'll be off to Tipperary in the morning. Morning. Sure, I'm feeling mighty fine, and I've got bags of money too, and I mean to give the folks at home a proper Irish do. There'll be such a welcome waiting for you, rumble on the mat. I can just imagine people saying, "Ah, how are you, Pat?" With me shillelagh under me arm and a twinkle in me eye, I'll be off to Tipperary in the morning. Now with me shillelagh under me arm and a score for Lorelei, I'll be welcome to the home that I was born in. Me mother's toiling neighbours, I'm going to settle down. Fill the flutes are coming out to play me round the town. Oh, with me shillelagh under me arm and a twinkle in me eye, I'll be off to Tipperary in the morning.
Very special guest in this first hour of St. Patrick's Day 2013 is Carmel Quinn. And Carmel, when did you decide that being an entertainer, being a singer, was what you were going to do with your life? And how did that go over, say, with your father and with
the Darcy. We called him the Darcy. I'll tell you, when I told him, my brother, Kevin, the eldest, was all for education. You got to go. And I did well in school. I did, thank God. But I wanted to sing. We all sang. My sister sang. Everybody sang. And my brother sang. We were just used to everyone singing. But it was... I said to him one day, I got a scholarship to a college in Black Rock, Carisford College.
Carisford,
yeah.
Okay.
And
teaching college.
Yeah, so. And myself and my pal, another Carmel, Carmel A and Carmel B, we'd go, well, of course, every day, and money was very scarce, and I could train fare, my father. I gave you the money yesterday. I know, Daddy, but I have to go today, too. Yeah, dragging the money, but I said to him one day after I did 2 years at the college, I said, Daddy, you know what? I really think I'd like to be a singer.
Mm.
And he looked at me and he said, Carmel, you haven't a hope. You believe?
Of course it would have during that period of time. The arts were brought with them. With the whole concept of being an actor, a singer, a musician or something, conjured up this image of insecurity.
Yes.
It would be like, and it wouldn't have taken much to say, that's exactly what you should do, and it's great if you work it around the day job.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly, but he said you haven't a hope. I thought of that after. I started to do little local things and began to do a little bit well, and then Bill Fuller, Lord rest him, my late husband, who had a ballroom in Dublin, the Crystal.
The Crystal Ballroom.
And asked me, would I like to do a night there? And it started that way, and then other then I went to London. But I thought of my father, God rest him now, and when I was going to sing for President Kennedy in Washington. The years, of course, have flown. I'm skipping years. But I'm there, and I'm very nervous, and a big orchestra, and I had a chat in a little hallway with President Kennedy. Lovely. He could not, God rest him, couldn't be nicer. And we had a really good chat and a laugh. Then I came on a side stage. He asked me to sing the old Galway Bay.
Oh, my
The traditional,
God.
Which I love. So I said, sure.
Just a little bit of it, because I loved it, by the way.
As far away I am today from scenes I roamed a boy. Tis long ago the hour I know I first saw Illinois. But time nor tide nor waters white can wean my heart away. Forever true it will fly to you, my own dear Galway Bay.
Great.
Oh, dear, I haven't sung today. But you know what? I'm standing waiting to go on and sing for the president. And before I did, I went to the phone and I called the Darcy in Dublin to tell him. And of course, we had no phone in the house. So any calls for us, which were very few, went to the local pub on the corner.
Mm.
And then Mr. O'Neill would send up someone, go up to Quinn's and tell Mr. Quinn he's wanted. And they'd run to the house, and then the daddy would get the call, and of course have a few jars. You can't take a call and not.
Absolutely.
So.
It was a marketing strategy.
So I called him and said, Daddy, what? I'm going to sing for the president. And he said, the president of what? I said, of Ireland. Ah, come on now, this call is costing a fortune. Cut out this. He didn't believe me. So now I'm waiting at the side of the stage to go on. And this, it was a governor's dinner. Governors from every state. So one guy goes out and just said, saw me standing at the side, said, hi, Carmen. Carmen, hello. I said, hi. He said, honey, you were terrific. I hadn't been on.
No.
I hadn't gone on.
And where was this?
Yes, this was in Washington.
In Washington,
So, I just quickly thought.
The President of the United States.
Yeah, so I said, excuse me, sir, did you like the special request I sang for you?
Mm.
I made that up. I hadn't been on. You know what he said? Mm. He said, darling, I loved it. I thought, why am I frightened? Why am I worried? So went on and had a ball.
Here's a song from Carmel Quinn, one that you must have sung 1,000 times.
Right.
And it is a great song. Thank you, ma'am, says
Dan. Oh, loved it.
What got you up to my room, to my room, to my room? What brought you up to my room, to the mistress of to dance?
I come here to catch your daughter, ma'am. Play it fast, it's no great fun, ma'am.
Oh, Dan, my dear, you're welcome here.
Thank you, ma'am, says Dan.
How come you know my daughter, my daughter, my daughter? How come you know my daughter, to the mistress of to dance?
Going to the well for water, ma'am. To raise the can, I taught her, ma'am.
Oh, you're the handyman.
Thank you, ma'am, says Dan. She's a bonny girl, your daughter. Your daughter, your daughter. She's a bonny girl, your daughter. And I like her well, says Dan.
She's a girl that's fit for any man. And has a draw for you, dear Dan.
Thank you, ma'am, sister.
You can have my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. Oh, you can have my daughter to the mistress on to Dan. But if you take my daughter, Dan, of course you'll take me also, Dan.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, Dan, my dear, you're welcome here.
Thank you, ma'am, Suzanne. This couple, they got married, got married, got married. This couple, they got married, Miss Elizabeth and Dan. And now he keeps her mother and her father and her brother and...
Dan, but you're the lucky man.
Thank you, ma'am.
Carmel, where do songs like that, where do they come out of?
Well, I heard them as a little girl when all we ever had was little house parties and everyone sang, and that's where you heard them. And we learned every single song we heard.
Mm-hmm.
And my Aunt Julia and her husband Tom would always sing, you know.
Yeah.
What brought you up to my house, to my house, to my house? And all these, and we learned every word. And, you know, you just retain them because you concentrated on them. And I learned every word and learned the way they sang. Kathleen and Mick, was from the north of Ireland.
Yeah.
And she would sing Stormy Weather.
Oh, my
Remember
God.
Remember that? Oh. Thank God, everything I have is gone. stormy weather. And then she would forget the words.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd all be like, please, God, let her think of it. And Mick, in his north of Ireland accent, since my man and I ain't together. And so we learned them all in different accents.
Yeah. Great. There were songs, and many of them, and of course, we were picking very up-tempo songs for the day that's in it. By the way, friends, I keep referring to today as St. Patrick's Day, and believe me, even though it is the 16th of March, this is St. Patrick's Day in New York. As a matter of fact, primarily because of the parades, but we will make a 48-hour St. Patrick's Day out of it. We'll be celebrating, of course, the day itself tomorrow. This is, we've knocked a weekend out of it. And indeed, as my guest, Carmel Quinn, entertainer supremo, would know, we've managed somehow in the United States to knock a month out of the good St. Patrick.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even last week, there were parades all over New Jersey.
The whole, actually.
I have a concert next Sunday on the 6th, and it's the St. Patrick's Day, story, or whatever date that is.
Yeah.
And St. Patrick's Day in Ocean County College in Toms River.
Yeah.
Then I have a Minneapolis St.
Right.
Patrick's Day concert.
Yeah.
Then I come back and I'm at Rory Dolan's.
Oh, when are you there?
I'm in Rory Dolan's in April.
Right, the 14th of April. I will there.
It is a big benefit. I want it to be, with the help of God and yourself, full. Because I'm doing it for a school in the Bronx that I've done a lot of work for, trying to keep it open. Because they keep
Which
trying...
Which school is it?
St. Margaret Mary's on Fremont Avenue.
Absolutely.
I've done... And people I have got to help, Charles Dolan Sr., he has been a great help to them. And I keep trying to get concerts going. We've got to keep that school open. It's a terrific school.
That's also, there are a couple of dates here that I'll just throw out. April 26th is a Friday. You have a speaking engagement at the Woman's Club in Canton, Ohio.
That's right.
You know, you spent a lot of time, I know we know you've traveled the length and breadth of the United States, but actually you've been going to Ohio since...
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? I'll tell you why. Because my mother, Lord rest her, when she was a young girl, came out to Ohio.
Really?
From Ireland. In those days when it was really tough, and she came with another girl, and she, well, her brother was there, Uncle Paddy, from Leitrim. They were all from Leitrim.
Mm.
And she came, and she was very beautiful, my mother, and played music and sang. And she really thought, she'll do well.
Mm.
Well, it was the years when No Irish Need Apply stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless us. So the next thing she found, she could only get work in a house cleaning the floors. She had a better life in Ireland than when she came out here. So then she was started to go with this guy, and he was pretty wealthy, and so she turned it down. She just stayed a long time and saved and saved. Imagine she went back. In those days, no one went back.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in those days, they had a wake for you when you were coming out.
Oh, I know.
Even though you were alive and well.
Known as the American wake.
Yeah, but that's why wakes are lively, because you were alive and well, and everyone had a few jars.
Yeah. But also, the underlying fact was that if you were leaving Ireland at that time, nobody really expected that you would come back. So your mother did...
She went back, and believe this, the day she arrived back, the McFarlands lived on 12 Auburn Street.
Yeah.
The Quinns lived on 26 Auburn Street, Little Street, Dublin. The day she arrived and getting her case out of the whatever, my father was passing by and said, hello, how are you? Mm. They met the day she came from America in the same little street.
My God.
And in the end, they were going together and nobody, her family said, what she want to marry that fella for?
Mm-hmm.
What's he, you know, plays the fiddle and the shirt and stuff? Yes. And they were his family were saying, what does she marry? Why would she marry him? Why would he marry her just back from America?
Mm.
God knows what she was into.
Well, definitely, your mom's fondness for Ohio has withstood the West the test of time.
Yeah.
You're back at the end of April in Olmsted Falls in Ohio.
That's right.
We do know, and everybody in his mother knows, that this is a very special year in Ireland, a year of the gathering, where the Irish diaspora worldwide are invited to come to Ireland. And there are so many events, there are so many festivals and activities happening in every parish, in every county, in every region of Ireland throughout the year. And I'm sure that whereas you have spent many, many trips back to Ireland, but this is a special year to be called back.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going over first to do the Late Late Show.
Yes.
And then...
Like all the Late Late Shows on our television put together there, the Late Late Show in Ireland.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Yeah. And then I'll do some concerts all over the place.
Yeah.
And enjoy myself, though.
Absolutely.
There's no place like it. There's no place like it.
And also, well, on May 11th at Paramus Catholic School in Paramus, New Jersey. I've done that one so many
times. Yeah, and I want to do that. That is for the elderly nuns.
Yeah.
The elderly nuns can be ignored, and that's not fair.
Unfortunately, that is so true.
Yeah.
And, again, it's unfortunately, I think it's out of sight, out of mind. And, sometimes, we are of the opinion that when we talk about Catholic schools, when we talk about nuns in particular, we talk in past tense.
Yes.
The truth of the matter is that there are very few left.
Yes.
But for those who are, there isn't much attention paid to them, unfortunately.
Yes.
And in the midst of all the other world focus on the negative aspects, everything from sex scandals to whatever, the plight of elderly nuns is way, way down the list in terms of priority.
Well, we're going to try to do something about that.
You know, I'd love to continue talking to you about you, about your life. What I want to do is fast forward. You came to the United States and was the first entertainer who actually from Ireland, Irish-born, to make a name for yourself in television. You were the darling of the Arthur Godfrey show.
Yeah.
Did you think at that point that the day would come, and it did, when people would say, Carmel Quinn... And that other fellow, what was his name? Arthur, whatever.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yes.
That so many people have actually forgotten who, you know.
Poor old Arthur, God rest him. But
he
was the biggest. He was the biggest. We were on every morning for an hour and a half and Big Show Wednesday night, 89.
Wow.
But that was, again, luck. You know, I was very lucky, Adrian. I really was. You know, I had heard, the day I came to America, I stayed with people on Broadway at 145th.
Really?
In an apartment.
Uh-huh.
And I looked out and I said, Oh, I said to them, the Gormans, we're on Broadway. Could we go and see the theaters?
Mm.
They said, oh, no, Carmel, that's 42nd. This is 140. I know, but we could walk. Oh, no. So anyway, I convinced them.
Yeah.
We went.
Were you a tenant or were they relatives? Or
what?
Were you a tenant or were
no, friends.
Friends, yeah.
So the next friends of Bill's. Not I didn't know them.
Yeah.
So we go down and we're right by a pub called Connie Hurley's.
Mm-hmm.
Connie Hurley, near NBC.
Yes.
And Bill fancied a drink, Bill Gorman, and we went in. And he said to Connie, there was a television up on the thing, little television, and he said to Connie Hurley, Connie just came from Ireland today. And Connie said, welcome, welcome. And he said, she does a bit of singing. And Connie said, was that a fact? He said, look up there. Look up at the television. See that show, Arthur Godfrey Talent Scouts? You should go in for that. That was my first night. Now, isn't that extraordinary? Now, I didn't know how to go about that.
Uh-huh.
So the woman I was stayed with, we went in to inquire, and the girl at CBS said there's a 6-month wait for auditions and a 6-month wait to be on. Oh, God, I said to her, we could be all dead. And she said, no. So next thing, we chatted for a while, and she went in, she came out. She said, they'd like to see you now. After a 6-month wait, no wait. See the way it happened?
Yeah.
Went in, the lady at the piano said, where's your music, dear?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no, I wasn't expecting to sing today. Next thing, I had to sing a cappella. I sang Gaelic songs. Tawn Mora Riga, a Garamara Maneiras, May a Gimmel. And I did a whole lot of. And I looked in, and the panel had their heads in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh. Sang another, then I said, they probably want American songs.
Hmm.
So I said, what is this thing called love? And they said, oh, no, 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 sing another Irish song. Next thing, this man comes out and he says, Karma, we're going to put you on Monday night. So went the 6 months, the 6 months. And on Monday night, I don't know how, I really don't. I won, I had no one in the audience. I came off and I was crying, and he kept saying, come on, bring her out for him. I wouldn't go out. I was crying. I felt not a soul from home.
Mm.
And so this man came and talked to me, Jack Carney, who was running the Talent Scouts. He was Art Carney's brother.
Right. Oh, yes.
Of Gleason. And lovely man. We talked. They put me on, and I was to be on for 3 mornings. That was the prize.
Wow.
And the third morning, I was worn out from getting up so early and getting in and all the hairdressing and the makeup and the, ugh. Next thing, third morning, he said, did you like being with us? And I said, I did. He said, would you like to stay?
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, I'd have to think about it.
Mm.
Stayed for 6 years.
Oh, my God.
6 years. So, you know, it's funny. A man at a concert the other night said to me afterwards, he said, you know, Carmel, I never liked you. Oh, I said, thanks very much. I love to hear that when I come up. He said, I'll tell you why. When we were small and you came on, my mother wouldn't let us speak. Karma's on, the Godfrey Show. You know, it was very big.
I tell you, now in my 43rd year,
yeah.
I'm always cautious when I am introduced to young adults. Because when they're teenagers and they're saying, oh, you know who this is, and you know, we listen to them and we, and that's all right. But when they become young adults,
yeah.
Much like you have told her.
Yes.
I have some people who say, my God, what we had to do, and we were stuck, you know, listening to you. And the only, we couldn't talk. But any time, like you put on a guest or any time you brought news, you know, our father used to say, why doesn't you shut up and play the music?
Yes.
Because that's what Irish radio was.
Yes.
That's what actually our whole, and as you know, I worked as a musician myself 25 years, and that wasn't easy on a bandstand. When people would say, what are you talking about? Why do you do all the talking on the radio? Why don't you play the music? And and we do. And we play the
and that's what's wonderful about it.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's great. I want to tell a quick story. One which I will always remember. I came in October of 1959 from Ireland. I was always 17. And New York was amazing. It was fantastic. It was terrific. I had met more Irish people, I assume, in the first day in Gaelic Park, I arrived on a Sunday, was in Gaelic Park. I had met so many Irish people, I didn't think that the island of Ireland could have held them. But my very first Irish event, and I was sponsored, as in fact all the Durkins and the Durkins from Bohola, the Burns from Kilkelly, and the Flannelys from Attymath. We were sponsored by our uncle Paul O'Dwyer. The very first Irish event that we went to was in Carnegie Hall. It was the Night of Shamrocks, known as the Night of Shamrocks. I think it had to do with musicians or whatever. But the featured guest was Colin McQueen. And afterwards, when Paul and many others went back to meet you, at 17, I asked you for your autograph. You gave it to me. You actually spelled my name properly. I think that was probably the last time anybody spelled it properly. But you did A-D-R-I-A-N. And it says, good luck, Carmel Quinn. I could not wait to write a letter home and to enclose in that letter your autograph with good luck. It was lost for years and years. And sure enough, at some point, it has to be 20 years later, the autograph and the little note showed up.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Who would have thought?
I know.
I know that here it is. 53 years later. 53 and a half years later. God, we're both pushing on, Carmel.
Yes, we are. I don't feel old. That's the beauty of it. I don't know what old is.
I know.
And I'm blessed, you know, and I have a wonderful family. My Jane, my daughter, listens to you.
And a gorgeous girl.
Yeah,
indeed.
Sean and Terry, everyone listens to Irish music and your show.
Well, they could hardly,
no,
they could hardly get away from
you
it.
You don't look old. Look at you.
Yeah. Well,
you have all a nice head of hair and the whole lot.
Listen, it would be holy and a wholesome thought if I let you out of here, because actually, friends, tomorrow, Sunday, March 17th, my guest, Carmel Quinn, will be performing at the Old Log Theatre in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And that's why it's very special. It's a very special privilege, and indeed, one of my first. I entered radio in 1970, and I do remember. Now that we have archives and still working on those, many of them there, I want to get a copy of the first interview we did of your coming to the studio, poky little place up on Riverside Drive and 80th Street. You take your life in your hands to go down into the basement. Yeah. And, of course, that time, everybody was smoking. I mean, the only time you would recognize the smoke is if you had a couple of cigar smokers in the place, too. You couldn't even see where you were going. It was like a bad fog.
I know.
So many memories, so many great times and so much, but I cannot I can't think of a better guest to have than somebody I will always know as a great friend.
Thank you.
A great supporter of the arts, a great supporter of charities, and indeed a most talented entertainer from Ireland. You know, we mentioned the Arthur Godfrey Show, numerous appearances on Jack Parr.
Oh, I love
for
that.
Anybody, yeah. Mike Douglas, Merv Griffin.
I did. You know, I did Mike's first show when before he got it. You know, a test show.
Yeah.
And I didn't know him, but I knew he had talent. You know, everyone I worked with, gone.
Mm.
Tashid Imaha. Tashid Marav.
You better not let Regis Philbin hear you saying that.
Oh, no, Regis. God bless Regis. He's going strong.
He is.
And Regis is like me. Regis doesn't know how to stop working.
I know.
That's what his problem
now,
is.
Now, listen, those in glass houses should not throw stones.
That's right.
There are those who say, you don't know when to stop working either. But I am delighted to have you here, and indeed, good luck. You'll be back. And my guest and friend, Carmel Quinn, again, have a very happy St. Patrick's Day. Say hello to those people in Minneapolis.
I will indeed. I'll tell them. They'll be happy to hear.
Because we are broadcasting nationwide and indeed worldwide. And one last thing I'll ask you on the way out the door. There's a rumor, and you can confirm or deny it, but you have a book, and the book is ready to...
Yes, I'm just finished the book.
You finished it?
Just done. On all the bits and pieces about growing up in Ireland and all the stuff and coming to America.
Yeah.
It's
long overdue, because many people
for
decades and decades say, Carmel, why don't you write about why?
But I had it started years ago, and I the worst to me is I love performing, but when I read what I write, I say, then when I speak it, I recorded them last week, and I thought, okay, they're not bad, and it's a time you'll never see again.
The name of the book.
Wait till I tell you. Carmel. I always say, oh, wait till I tell you.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. Thanks, Adrian, very much
for having me.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, St. Patrick's Weekend, live from New York City.
I must tell you a story. I have a very dear friend in here this evening. I knew he was here. He's a priest from Fridley. They have priests in Fridley. I knew he's over at the hotel, and I heard the waitress say, Father, would you like a cup of tea? He said, no tea. She said, would you like a cup of coffee? He said, no coffee. She said, would you like a whiskey and soda? He said, no soda. Song, you can all help me. Every time I say, don't bother to knock. Don't bother to knock. You're to clap your hands. Ready? You want to try it? Don't bother to knock. That's perfect. Go. Have you ever been to Miley Grace that played a bunny stuff? They say he has the finest tune that ever grew to stuff. If you like to drink some mountain, you will go there any day. And when Riley hears you come in, he would lift his horn up and say, don't bother to knock, don't bother to knock. Just hit the latch and walk right in the boy. Don't bother to knock, don't bother to knock. Come in and make yourself back home. Well, the quality of Riley Brewley took me with fame. For soon the local sergeant, he had gone but the same. Hurry up to burn his bicycle and he rode down Riley's way. And to his boat, so vicious, knock he up the right. He said, don't bother to knock, don't bother to knock. Just hit the latch and walk right in the boy. Don't bother to knock, don't bother to knock. Come in and make yourself at home. Well, when Riley went before the judge, she's only just refined. But it turned out that Riley's judge was not the drinking kind. He sent Sir Riley up to jail with very small delay. And when Riley reached the prison gate, she heard the woman say, "Don't bother them up, don't bother them up. They fix the lights and walk right in the voice. Don't bother them up, don't bother them up. Come in and take yourself back home." Where to? That's the life for Riley, and it's very pleasant end. They say that up in heaven, she's St. Patrick's greatest friend. So Riley through the drove to sink to Mary's lovely shore. The finest Irish welcome is for you, what every door. Don't bother them up, don't bother them up. So take the lunch and walk right in the boy. Don't bother them up, don't bother them up. Come in and make yourself.
Coming up to the end of our first hour of broadcasting from New York City on this March 16th, the beginning of St. Patrick's celebrations in New York City. The New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade will be starting in another hour or so. In the meantime, of course, we will be with you for the next 5 hours. And might we suggest that you actually switch, if you are in the New York City area, if you've been listening to us, on WNYE 91.5 FM, then this would be a good time to switch over to WVNJ 1160 on your AM dial. Co-host John Deary will be joining me shortly. We have a great lineup of entertainers who will be with us live. We have a lot of guest visitors from both sides of the Atlantic. Shortly we will be welcoming Mayor Mike Bloomberg, the mayor of the city of New York. A little bit later on we will be welcoming many guests from Ireland, including the number one guest, the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Ireland, Prime Minister Enda Kenny will be joining us. That and a lot more, hopefully, you will be able to stay with us. If not, well then, if you have other things to do, like march in the parade or be one of the 2 million who are going to be expected to watch the parade from the sidelines today, then you can access our interviews anytime, not only today's, but any days, by logging on to www.irishradio.com. Right now, if you know of anybody who you think might enjoy the next 5 hours of entertainment on Irish Radio Network USA, then give them a call. Have them log on to www.irishradio.com.